I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 13, John chapter 13, and I'd like to just share just some simple truths on what I would entitle how Bible college students would guard themselves against a spiritual collapse. Now, I'm a product of a Christian school. I'm a product of a Bible college, and I understand that it's very easy to spiritually collapse on those two fronts. And you may believe here this morning that you're in the most difficult days of your life, but I wanted to let you know, Bible college students, you're in the greatest days of your life, and you ought to thank God for it. Thank God for all those that are leading you, and just enjoy your time here, enjoy serving God, and learn how you can sharpen your sword for the Lord Jesus Christ and be effective for Him in the days ahead. John chapter 13, and if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible says this: Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Spiritual collapse. May we pray together, dear Lord. I pray that you would help me to be a blessing to these young people, the staff members that are here today. I pray that you'd help me to say only those things that be pleasing to thee, and we'll thank thee and praise thee for it. In Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Simon Peter's an interesting character in the Bible. He's one of my favorite. He's a lot like all of us. He speaks a lot of times before he really thinks about what he's about to say. He also makes some an amazing statements in the Bible, some that we look back to, and as he confesses that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church, and that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But also Simon Peter, in this particular passage, we see his life leading to where he will eventually have a collapse spiritually, and eventually he'll follow the Lord afar off. Eventually, in just a few days, he will even deny that he is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with an oath, he will not identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this begins here in this passage of Scripture. Now, I want us to notice three simple truths from the Word of God that I hope will help us as we think about, as we consider how we may guard ourselves against a spiritual collapse. First of all, notice with me, if you would, number one, just three simple words. The first word is division. Number one, division. And I want you to turn back with me, if you would, into Mark chapter 9, and we'll read verse 33 through 36 just in a moment. But we notice there's a division. Before we ever get to this particular passage of Scripture, we find the context and what leads up. And why does Peter say, Simon Peter say the things that he says? And we notice in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 33, the Bible says, And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? Jesus asked them a question. But they held their peace. For by the way they had disputed among themselves, who should be the greatest? Now think of that, if you would. The reason Simon Peter is about to make this statement to the Lord is because the context of this story is that Simon Peter and the other disciples, they are beginning to ask one another, who is the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest quarterback in the NFL as we start the NFL season? Who is it? Who's the greatest basketball player in the NBA? And the disciples, they were a lot like the society that we live in today. They were debating who's the best. John and all of the disciples, they begin to debate this. James, Simon, Peter, we notice that before they're debating who would be the greatest, that Andrew brought his own brother, Simon Peter, the Lord. And at that particular day, the Lord Jesus Christ changed his name, and now he set out to serve the Lord. We know about 9 months later that the Lord Jesus Christ finds Simon Peter by the seashore. He asked to use his boat, and he teaches a great lesson and preaches a great sermon from that boat, and then they launch out into the deep, and Simon Peter catches more fish than he's ever caught in the history of his fishing business. And now they're debating who is the greatest. Who will God use? And notice what the Lord says about who will be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Servant of all. I love your theme for this year, for this semester. Servants in the gospel. And all of us should strive to be servants in the gospel. And a servant in the gospel doesn't necessarily mean that you will be the leader in some avenue of ministry one day. It may be that you would be considered the low person on the totem pole, you might say. But remember this, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rewards us, remember this, the world always rewards like this, up and down, and you rise to higher and higher degree in a particular vocation that you might have or a particular ministry that you might be involved in. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he rewards like this, straight across. So what that means is this, is that the person at the Lewisburg Baptist Church, the church I pastor, that the one that serves in the nursery, God is just as pleased with that person that serves in the nursery than he is with the pastor of the church, which would be myself. The Lord is just as pleased with that children's director that goes up and teaches the boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ than he is about the pastor that stands up in front of all the adults and speaks and gives the morning message. Remember, the Lord, he rewards like this. And if you remember nothing else that I said this morning, remember this, that wherever you go, whatever you do in life, just decide, I'm going to be a bond slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that I'm going to be a servant for him, and I'm not worried about who will be the greatest. I'm not worried about who is the greatest, but rather I'm more concerned about what the Lord wants to do in my life, what the Lord desires to do in my life. And what leads Simon Peter to this point is, number one, the division that disciples had. So when we look at that, we understand the context that is given. Now notice with me, if you would, after we understand the division that he has, let's notice number two with me, if you would, a declaration. Number two, declaration. First of all, we notice this truth that's so evident in the Bible. There's a division, there's strife. But then notice the declaration that the Lord makes to Simon Peter. He's there, and verse 5, the Bible says, "After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Dost thou wash my..." Simon said, I want to ask you this question. Now remember, Simon Peter, he's asking the question that all the other disciples, they're wondering. They've allowed the Lord to wash their feet. They've wondered the same thing. Simon Peter, he's a lot like us. He's just verbalizing what everyone else is thinking. You know, if you get a group like this, especially a large group like I'm speaking to today, you'll find certain people in this group, certain Bible college students, that they say what everyone else is thinking. That's the way Simon Peter was. He said, "Lord, will thou wash my feet?" And remember now, if you would, the custom of the day. The custom of the day is that a Jew would never wash another Jew's feet. As a matter of fact, even a Gentile would not even wash a Jew's feet. But rather, a Gentile servant only would wash a Jew's feet. And so Simon Peter, when he asked this question, you may think it's kind of strange, or I may think it's kind of weird that he would even say this, but he says it. And the reason that he says it is because he is saying what everyone else is thinking. And so he makes this statement to the Lord. And look what Jesus said. He makes this declaration to him. He makes two declarations to him. The first one is this. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And I have circled in my Bible that word "now" and that last word in verse 7, "hereafter." And what God is doing now in your life is a wonderful thing. But if you would only be the servant that God wants you to be, if I'll only be the servant that God wants me to be, if you could look at your life 20 years later, if the Lord tarries his coming, you would be amazed at what the Lord wants to do in your life in the hereafter. In hereafter. As I look back, almost 20 years ago, I was in a Bible college. I sat where you sat. I would have never dreamed that the Lord would ever give me the opportunity to pastor a church or to start a school or to do those type of things. But God gave me that opportunity, and I want to follow Him. I want to be a servant to Him, and I want to understand that I want to be faithful to the Lord in the here and now, but I also want to be faithful to Him now so that He can use me for His honor and for His glory in the hereafter. And the Lord makes a declaration to Simon Peter. He says to him, "Now I want you to be quiet, because what I'm doing now you don't understand, and but you will hereafter. You'll understand this." So what God is doing in your life, you may not understand. Your school bill may need to be paid. You may need to find employment so that you're able to make it financially. But remember this: what God is doing now, He's preparing you for something in the future. And be faithful to Him. Be a servant for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we see this truth to be evident, the declaration that he makes. Now Simon Peter comes back with another statement. Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Can you imagine someone saying that to the Lord? "You're never going to wash my feet, Lord. Never." Notice what Jesus declares to him. Simon Peter declares, "Thou never wash my..." Jesus answered and said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." No part with me. Notice what God's word is saying. Now, the Bible's not teaching here that a person can lose their salvation. That, of course, is not possible. It's not biblical. But what the Lord is saying this, he's saying to Simon Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you can never be identified as one of my disciples. For you see, there is salvation and there's sanctification. I'm thankful that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I was saved as a 12-year-old boy in a children's service. It happened to be on a Sunday. You can be saved any day of the week. I was saved. I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then God later called me to be a preacher. The last thing I could ever imagine myself to be is a preacher. I was raised in a full-time Christian servant's home, and I went to church every time the doors were open. And the last thing I thought I'd ever be would be a preacher, but that's what God called me to be. And because I've been saved, God has sanctified me and set me apart for that particular purpose. And he's saying to Simon Peter, you're still a Christian, you're still saved, but you'll have no part as being identified with me as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And remember this: serving God, serving the Lord, young people, it's black and white. People today, we live in a society today where people say there's a lot of gray area, but serving God is black and white. People are either saved or they're lost. People are either serving God or they're backslidden. You are either serving God or you're backslidden. I'm either serving God or I'm backslidden. And the Lord's saying to Simon Peter, I'm not going to make you feel good. I'm not going to excuse what you just said. If you don't allow me to do exactly what I want to do in your life, then you have no part with me. You'll not be identified as one of my disciples. And then Simon Peter begins to negotiate with the Lord. Number three, this is the final point for this morning, a negotiation. So we notice here the division that is among them. We notice the declaration of the Lord, the strife, the declaration, and then we notice the negotiation that he begins to make. You know, you're here today, and you say, Lord, I want to serve you, but I'm going to negotiate what I'm going to do. This is what Simon Peter did. He said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Wash them both. Wash my hands and my head. What he was really saying is, he was saying, Lord, I'm so spiritual that after all, we had a discussion a few days ago about who's the greatest. I'm convinced in my heart, Simon Peter says, I'm convinced in my heart that I am the greatest. And because you've washed these other disciples' feet, then wash my hands and wash my head, because I'm better than they are. And here's what I want you to do. He begins to negotiate. Lord, I'll obey you, but in my obedience to you, Lord, you can wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head. Do you know that all of us that are here today, we all want to negotiate with Christ? We want to negotiate with Him. But remember this. The Lord says, in my work and in my plan for your life, there is no negotiation. I will not negotiate with you. You will do what I say. You'll take up your cross. Follow me. You'll be a servant, a bondslave. You're not your own. My life is not Jonathan Comer. It's not what pleases me. Your life is not about what you... We live in a me-first society, a society that pushes everyone else down and promotes our own agendas. That's not the way the work of God works. And the Lord's saying to all of us here this morning, there'll be no negotiation. Simon Peter could not negotiate with me, and there'll be no negotiation in any way, in any form. I want you to know, Simon, that without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing that can be done that brings any glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ outside of His will for our life. So let's remember, Bible college students, let's remember this, that I am to do what the Lord wants me to do with my life. You are to do what the Lord wants you to do with your life, not what I have planned for my life, not what you have planned for your life, but rather what the Lord has planned for our life. May God help us. I'm to live a life that you've heard this 1,000 times, but I'm to live a life, you're to live a life that brings glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only way to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ is to understand and realize, when it comes to the things of God, I cannot negotiate what He wants me to do. I must be rather obedient to Him. In order to obey Him, I must forget all the declarations that I make, and I must rather follow His declaration for my life. And that it certainly is to be a servant in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I'm ever going to be a servant in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I must also understand that there must be no strife, there must be no pride that's found in my life. I'm not concerned about who will be the greatest or who is the greatest, but I'm rather concerned about whether the Lord has first place in my life, that in all things He might have the preeminence. May I ask you this question in closing? Will your life bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And will you do everything that you can to fight off all of the devices and the wiles of the devil so that you may be an effective servant for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you, in your life, may guard yourself against a spiritual collapse?